Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time to do a pre-show.
But it's all right. Fuck it.
We just go live. Just see.
We'll do it live.
Fuck it. We'll do it live.
Fuck it. We'll do it live.
Isn't that Bill O'Reilly?
It's Bill O'Reilly.
When he has that meltdown.
That's Bill O'Reilly.
We'll do it live.
Or William
Fuck
O'Reilly.
It.
No. We'll do it live. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone. Right now, well, people are going to be pouring in because we didn't get really a chance to do any pre-show. All of us have very busy lives.
We didn't do any pre-show. We didn't do any
rolling. But you know what? On pre-shows.
Most of the Brosif is here. He says, let's... No, and Amethyst Cosplay says, let's go.
Well, there we go.
Let's go.
We met her at Fan Expo.
Were they?
We did.
These guys, man.
Most of the Brosif says, I'm ready to get lost in the moss.
Always. Most of the Brosif is always getting lost in the moss.
And we appreciate that.
That brings up a very funny thing that happened on Reddit when I read this really funny comment on our video where somebody was like, oh, this is the reason why I dropped. We posted a clip.
Oh, right, yes.
Of Boren forgetting. Let's roll that clip.
Jamie, can bring that up.
And then, actually, you know, we could actually play that clip,
that's
but
true,
I didn't set it up, so I don't want to. I don't want
to
break the.
Do you want us to kill
here.
Time while you bring up the clip? Maybe we can bring up clips now. Maybe that's a idea we just thought about
on
the spot.
I just can't do it right now
because you have to go search.
Okay, so describe the clip then.
So I'll describe the clip. Boren forgets a lore dump.
Yeah,
and that was. That was the thing. And then a lot of people were like, ha, 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 this is awesome. This podcast is awesome. And, you know, all the expected feedback we would get. But one person was just like, yeah, you see, this is the reason why I fell off this podcast. To get lost in the moss. And then next thing you know, they go full murder hobo. And I'm like, I know where you dropped off the podcast.
Did someone say that? Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Bonus points. Who knows when that was?
Bonus points. Yeah, that I'm gonna say that was
Wendell going murder hobo on the Bill Drake.
Oh, that was early on. Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
maybe
right,
Ep 3.
Bill Drake. Mm-hmm.
Right, the mercantile exchange.
There was no other murder hoboing. That was not even murder hoboing.
So.
No,
you could debate the Vistani camp as slightly murder hoboish.
You know, that's something they need in the second Dungeons and Dragons movie. They
definitely
need a murder hobo.
But
they need a hobo to go on a murderous rampage.
Honor Among Hobos, I think, is the sequel.
There you go.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
Also, you can't really knock Murder Hobo until you've tried it. And honestly, I don't think any of us have the authority to even have an opinion on Murder Hobo.
I was also going to say that I don't think any of us have even played a Murder Hobo.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't experienced the Murder Hobo.
That's right.
Well,
phenomenon.
Your axe was possessed. It was part of the story.
That was deep lore.
That was
deep role play.
So that was a lore dump.
That was
your own lore dump.
Role play and like serious sticking to character development.
Sure, sure.
Mixing with the plot.
Absolutely.
No.
And they dressed it up as Murder Hobo, so... We want the monsters to be the
dressed
listeners.
Dressed it up, yeah, for sure.
We don't want whoever that was. Gorthak367 on Reddit.
Gorthak. Thacko. Gore. Gory.
Actually,
Thacko.
Gorthak sounds like it would be a murder hobo character.
Gorthak. Yeah. That's a pure moto hobo.
Moto.
Moto
hobo. Moto hodo.
Moto hodo.
I'm a moto hodo.
I'm a moto hodo.
Yeah, I'm playing the monk, moto hodo.
Moto hodo.
Oh.
Yeah.
Where he only murders hobos. He actually just goes around murdering hobos. Moto hodo.
Moto hodo. And
Moto
with
hodo?
With tranquility,
Moto
yes.
hodo.
He is able
he uses
to
his way of the open fist. Moto hodo.
And then way of the closed life.
Yes.
Well, we released Act 3.
We did it. We did it.
It started.
This was something that we were... we actually had to have a moment of clarity to ourselves to go, oh my God, we actually put this thing out. Oh. It's a bigger, now that it's out, it's a bigger fish to fry than you would expect, everybody. I know that we've rambled on about how we do this, but it's a big old fish to fry.
Well, it's actually like not crazy.
It's crazy.
No, well, I mean, you're
it's making the craziest fish
it's
to
when,
fry.
It's when
how are you going to fry it, Jay?
I take your point. I'm just saying it's just fitting it in our full schedules.
Sure, sure, sure.
It's kind of it's like making a little show on the side.
I know this is cliche, but I really do sincerely want to thank everyone that's logged in right now, the patrons. To be completely honest, having you guys as support and fuel really did help push us to finish this.
Yes.
Because especially around Act 1, when we had like not a lot of listeners, and we were like, wow, we had no idea. Because we were just going with the flow. We didn't know. We didn't know how much work each episode would take.
We didn't know how to even release it either.
We were hoping for,
I guess we make this and put it out there.
Exactly. Yeah. We were hoping for like one or two nice comments. And yeah. We got a lot more than that. So thank you very much.
We got a lot more. Yeah. And thank you for like waiting in anticipation while we put this out. That's really cool,
man.
Took
us a while.
Thank you, guys.
It's very special.
That's
very
special.
Special to join us on such everyone's Dungeons and Dragons journey is obviously probably very personal to them.
Yeah.
And if you can just think about all those heights that you've had in your own stories and to be able to share that and have people go hurrah for those same big moments.
Yeah,
it's quite a special thing.
For people to get a sense of enjoyment.
Inside club, you know, a lot of people don't get it.
No,
they don't get the sort of storytelling, improv, roleplay, gameplay.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things
don't get
making
D&D.
The Venn diagram.
For sure.
They don't. Well, speaking of special comments from the patrons.
Yes.
Are there any questions out there for the patrons that you'd like to
Let's hit the chat.
Ask. We're going to hit the chat. We're thinking about perhaps Act 1, Ep 1, if there's questions with that specifically. But we're ready to field whatever you guys got.
I think I'm gonna kind of just take what we got, you know.
It's a great idea.
Here we go. So Christopher Hope says, "Gentlemen,
oh
my yes,
let's fucking go."
I was talking to Mr. Hope on Patreon today. We were having a little chat. He had an interesting question. He was basically, I guess I'll just say it. Chris's question was, do we suppose, depending on how the saga goes, what happens to Wendell and Bourne, is there... He was kind of thinking, would there be a possibility of perhaps a one-shot afterwards? Is it open-ended type of thing? How does it come down? I wasn't sure if we could answer that live.
Well,
but,
I mean,
I gave
who
some
knows
answers.
If we'll be bringing Wendell and Bourne back from the dead? Or maybe they're totally fine.
Maybe they're fine. If they're alive.
The point is, who knows?
I think there's a possibility for anything. I want to answer that, but I also want you to listen because that's the other thing. We've spent so much time with these episodes. We were like, whoa! We surprised ourselves again listening to them. So, I mean, Mr. Hope, I want to answer that, but I also want to leave it for you to hear and go, ooh, because there's some cool shit. That last episode, man. I listened to it over and over and over again.
That's
like,
a wild
it
one.
Works.
That's a wild one.
It was crazy.
Things
so,
spindle off.
Yeah, I mean, I guess to answer Mr. Hope's question, I mean, yeah, anything's possible. Although I would hate to waste fat, juicy steaks like Bourne and Wendell on a one shot.
Well, I mean, perhaps this gets folded into the whole canon of the entire Dwarven Moss experience.
Yeah, one shots suck.
I think we're on the same page.
I think we're saying the same thing. So let's not do a one shot with them, but we might have a session update in their storyline.
Ah, no, fuck that. They're dead. Hope.
Chris, maybe we should just keep a measured level of dynamic.
Nah, for the no, no.
What if there was a cleric that could revive them?
Oh.
Okay, I'm going to go back to the chat.
Okay, go back to the chat.
Yeah. We've sort of lost the thread here, guys.
That's true. We got. Ooh,
where is that thread?
I came off hot.
Okay, most of the bros have says, I saw your Instagram post from earlier where Chris helped someone with their character, and I wanted to say that Bourne single-handedly inspired me to create Gevor Frostbeard, Dragonborn, Forge Cleric.
Oh, my
God. Wow.
What?
Nice.
Aww. Well, what?
I got to just say nice.
What exactly did Boren do to help you create that character?
Okay, well, we're not having a full conversation.
Well, I mean, with
him
right here.
I mean, there's
that's
a lot of
that's gonna be a great character. I love Forge Clerics. I've played one before.
It's the favorite character that he's ever made for D&D.
Hey,
wow!
And that was you inspired him to do that, Chris.
Well, what a
son of
thank
a bitch!
You. I mean, you know, I went into this. You know, like everybody else, just playing
D&D. Very interesting. Very interesting. And, but what I want to know,
inspiration point.
Where's the inspiration you're taking from me? Like, what has Wendell done?
Right.
Well, maybe it's taught some people to keep their temper in check.
I made the shittiest, most rude character ever made, and I gotta say, Wendell was the inspiration.
Thank you.
Thank you. He's such an asshole.
To be ornery.
Alicia Evelyn Rodriguez Philpott says, yes. Wendell kind of inspired me to make my warlock cleric. Leto and Sparrow.
Okay. Ooh. I mean, that's a kinda. That's not a fully inspired my favorite character kind of thing.
Right. You want the full deal. Know,
that's what...
Full, real, fleshed
just
out.
Just to kind of
fully, like,
tell the chat, that's kind of what we're interested in kind of hearing, is the kind of big stuff.
Yeah. Like, sounds
like how
has
Dwarven Moss, like, affected your life?
Yeah.
And changed your life dramatically for the better.
Yeah. So, but I will kind of rattle off a few more just irreverent
please
nonsense from
I'd
the
love
chat.
To. We keep, love it. Keep chatting. We want to keep talking to you guys.
Amethyst Cosplay says, episode one was so good. !! I missed Bourne and Wendell.
Oh.
And you know what? I did too. We had to take a little bit of a hiatus and we came back and...
I did too. Yeah. And you know what I'll say too? Having listened to it so much, and Jay and I were talking about this too, Tommy, but by these last episodes... It was like a switch we could just both turn on. They had become like a shirt for us that we could just slip it on and go, what are we doing? Okay, are we doing this? Yeah. And it became so we knew them very well. And what was great is to know those characters in a very confined situation. Not, it's the big world of Faerun and you have to go... traversing all over the continent. This is, you guys are here. You have to get out.
Right. And you have each other.
Had each other.
That's about it.
It was like Bruce Willis and what's his name? The dad from Family Matters in the first Die Hard. You know what I mean? It was like just them. They had each other. So by these episodes, there's some heavy breathing going down with the old B and Dubs. The bees and the dubs.
Our old pal Nathan said we inspired him to start D&D, and now he's a forever DM.
Oh,
Nathan's
no
been
way.
With us for a long time.
Nathan's
yeah,
been
yeah.
like
he's
a day
one.
Monster. Wait, so Nathan, we inspired you just to pick up the actual game of Dungeons and Dragons, and now you have proudly place the moniker of Forever DM on you? We did that?
He says,
no.
I know. Maybe one day I'll break it. I'm voicing him like the Mandalorian, sort of.
I know.
Okay.
I
know.
Maybe
one
day
I'll break it.
Break it. Yeah. Lulu, Lulu.
I need to go. The new episode of Dwarven Moss is coming out in a week. If I watch, he watches.
This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
Okay, well, while you're racking up some more comments there, Jay, let's go over what had happened. So,
okay, wait. Hold on. I'm missing some because it's like it's small text here.
Well, let me just say this. The Stranger in the Abbey, we pick up the moment we ended Act 2.
Right. And the moment we enter Kresk.
And the moment we entered Crest, we had entered Crest, we climbed up the wall.
Or the Abbey, I should say.
The Abbey, yeah. And now here's actually something, too. This is something we can talk about. This is really great. This is another DM change. This is a DM change.
Oh, Tom. Fantastic.
Toby and I have talked about this. Now, in the book, that Abbey is elevated high above Kresk. Mm-hmm. And it looks down upon the town. In our game, we kind of Denis Villeneuve'd it. We were like, we don't need that cliff. Because as a DM, you were listening to us as players going, hey, let's do this fancy-dancy thing. And you're like, you know what? I'm going to indulge that.
Sure.
So talk to me about indulging like this, right? The player and the ideas. Yeah, indulging the player and the ideas more than the story. When is one more important?
Absolutely. So if it's not completely, it's not a linchpin to holding things together, you want to indulge the players in a little, help them paint the world a little bit.
For sure.
And I think that's one of the big challenges when you go into any sort of scenario, whether it's a one shot or not. It's the malleability, the flexibility to go with the flow, because obviously you have an idea in your head.
Totally.
But you don't want to get tripped up if the players go outside of your idea. And in fact, if you can use that, then it kind of seems like a genius thing. It's
and,
like, wow.
And I would add to that, too, like, as a DM, you want to have your own flow, too. So if you're caught up in the idea, you're not suddenly going to go, oh, wait a minute, guys. There's a 9,000-foot cliff here. Let's roll for climbing and blah, blah, blah. You're going to go, no, I'm having a blast because these guys are going. I'm going to throw this at them. Yes.
Right.
There seems to be
an economy of, like, managing the dynamics of what your table wants, you know? And you can throw gas on anything. You could make a meal out of anything, or you could really push things along.
Yeah.
There's ways as a DM to sort of just like push things along, make a meal out of something, and you need to kind of maybe take the initiative and read the room and then take the initiative. What do these guys want to do right now? Do they want to move things along, or should we make a meal out of this? Because the moment I start digging in, I go, hold on, guys, you got to start giving me some rolls. Maybe you see some faces light up because they want to see how that goes down.
Right.
Or maybe you see them kind of drop their face and you're like, well, just give me one roll and then we are going to move this along.
For sure. And, you know, that's the other thing about adapting a book to the game, to playing the game, going, is this needed right now in the moment? No, let's go with the flow. These guys are thinking about this way to solve this problem. Yeah. Let's try that out.
We were also very new, right? We're very new at it. Like, Tom, you were bringing us through. We were looking to you a lot in the first part of the game to sort of, like, push things along and let us know how D&D even works.
To the point where we got so meta about it that when we were in the library, Jay was like, I pick out a book.
Yeah.
What does it say?
Testing.
Testing.
Like, wait a second.
The motherboard of information.
I'm starting to see the grid between reality.
right.
The Matrix is filling it in as you're walking into the black void. Wait a minute.
You go into an old library. Oh, yeah? What does it look like? Yeah. Old books. Yeah, pick one up. What is it? It's a book about castles. Okay. What's on the cover? Beautiful castle image painted.
Well,
painted? Well, it's a print. How do they print it?
I think I even slid the Wizard of Oz curtain over by saying, look, if you have any questions about the adventure, hinting at.
For sure.
That's right.
You'll find a book on it.
That's where
so
you
this
come
is,
in.
This is where I'm saying this is the moment to learn something in the library.
For sure.
So, you could come in and just sort of like take over and be like, you spend some time reading
the books, you can do
and
that.
You learn a few interesting facts.
But that,
Raven,
right, but that sometimes feels like you're just catering to the players. I want the players to ask for it, you know, rather than just say, okay, here, you learn everything, and here's it is on a silver platter. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but
how long
I don't think
do you
there's...
read for?
Right.
Okay, well, you learn this. I'm going to continue to read for an hour. Well, let me look up a few things and tell you what you learned.
It feels the way we play now, we could totally indulge that idea like a hot knife through butter.
Sure.
If we were playing this game now.
Yeah.
What does it say? It goes back paragraphs. You start reading. And is Wendell a good reader?
Maybe I'll make a sort of constitution check in this moment
to
see how well he's reading.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's great.
You're able to read for 20
pages
minutes.
And
you gain a few interesting facts.
Yeah, about Barovia, the land of Barovia. Yeah, for sure. I have to do a lot of that with my other guys.
Everything is an opportunity.
Everything's an opportunity. Okay, and which way you approach that scenario, I don't think there's a right or wrong. It's just it's all about the Venn diagram in the middle. Like, the middle of us three is Dwarven Moss, so you make a decision where you think everyone will be as equally happy as possible.
Raff, Rye.
What's the release schedule, LMAO? I want to hear the next one.
Okay, well, we're doing it like we've always done it, every other week. So last week, we premiered it on a Monday.
Yeah.
We're going to go back to our old release schedule. So the next episode is next Thursday. Following that, we'll have a Talking Moss about that episode and so on and so forth. We could release it all at once, but we want to stretch this out because...
But we want $1,000 from each of you. and we will send you all of them now.
Yeah. That's the ruler of
Barovia. We're so close to our goal, guys. Just smash that like button and hit the donate.
Subscribe.
As soon as we hit 50K, the next episode comes out. You guys are going to be treated to a wonderful production.
Yes.
You know, here, let me float this by the crowd. If we started a Kickstarter and got $1 million, what would you want to see from us? Right? Come on. We do exactly what Critical Role did. We start a Kickstarter and collect a... fund of money. What do you want us to do? What do you want from us?
We'll give them a second to think about that.
Yeah. Unlimited funds.
Okay. Good question. If somebody wants to know, did Strahd gift the cloak? I don't know if we can.
Did Strahd give the cloak to Wendell? It's a very meta question in the sense that I don't know how much you guys have you played Curse of Strahd? The whole land is very much tied to Strahd's inner psychosis. So it's a question. Maybe we'll answer it at one point.
Here's
later.
A new name. Jam Soda.
Jam Soda.
Jam Soda's in here.
Love that name.
Says first name. Thing it says is LOL, like a little kid asking way too many questions. And that's when we were talking about that. So he says here, I would really like to see a pivot to video format. With maps and minis and all that.
So would we.
Oh, my God. Hey. Guys, if you could only see how often we discuss things that we could just feasibly do.
For sure.
We're at a point right now where we're kind of like, we're spinning plates and everything to kind of give you and finish Strahd and everything. But we do find time to get together to play D&D. And what we're trying to do is be as efficient as possible with that time, and we're always talking about ways to up our game, and so it's still up in the air what you're going to see, what sort of innovations are going to happen.
Yeah,
we've gone down rabbit holes of minis,
maps,
Dwarven Forge,
close-ups. Yeah, like, we like this buildings. New Roll20 style. I like the visuals of Roll20.
Roll20 helps.
That's really helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been, you're not wrong, Jam Soda. I mean, that has definitely been on the tips of our tongue.
You know what
I'll ask
chat, too, is that...
Chat, too.
A constant and sort of ever-evolving conversation that we've had about delivering D&D actual play stuff and just having some fun, chipping away at it. What to do about... battle, because battling is so fun to play.
It's a great question.
But I can listen back to our pod and be like, well, it's certainly more fun to listen to a soap opera play out of, you know, narrative and story driven, character driven things happening. That seems to be really fun to listen to, but it's hard to still keep it compelling as we get into big battles, especially if we were to like make it to higher levels where just battles are big strategic. So it's a constant conversation
about this forever.
How to kind of deliver. And we still haven't even really seen even the College Humor, like who's leading Critical Role, the College Humor, Dimension 20 guys.
Yeah.
They're doing a lot with their sort of video stuff. But I even find that they don't even spend a lot of time doing that when I do check in to watch.
Yeah.
No, they don't. Harmontown's good, too, but it's not full battles. It's just like a couple
Yeah, it's not the fun.
It's not real D&D, but it's still real.
You have a whole night of a battle, right?
You got, you got a whole crowd. Ask the people, guys. What do you think? I mean, you're the crowd who listens, as we all do. Anyone has to a lot of D&D podcasts and shows. On that.
We'll read it out.
Yeah. What are your thoughts about like capturing battles?
Do we speed up the battles? Do we reduce the hit points by 50%? Do we muscle through? Do you want to hear them? Do you want to hear the rolls?
Do you like the turns, the right initiative
order? Anything you do to like make it faster or easier or more economical kind of starts to rob from the deep stakes and deep.
Well, and that's the other thing.
Takes away from the actual
the
game,
grind of the real D&D battles.
It's the Venn diagram. Yeah. If one takes over slightly from another, then things are a bit off kilter, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nathan says, I like a bit of both. I do enjoy battle, especially when Wendell and Bourne continue the conversation. You guys do well at keeping battles fun and entertaining. This is like that.
So that's it. We just got to...
idling on the spot.
That's right.
Those characters.
Make every swing count.
Whoa! He's coming to hit me next, Bourne.
Well, that's it. I think that's what we found was barking at each other. When we first started fighting those werewolves in the first episode, at the end of the first episode, Bourne, stand up, and we were just, I mean, as we probably were, drunk.
He got you there.
But yeah. Oh, I know. He got me. Watch out, Wendell. Shit like that.
Thanks for pointing that out.
Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully my saving throw goes well.
It kept our energy up rather than go, okay, my swing and hit.
It's a 12.
Yeah, it's, okay.
12 hit.
12, yeah, 12 hit. And so it takes 8 points of damage.
Which is fun to play and to track and to be stressed out by.
Sure.
To keep track of.
Sure. But the way we play,
when you're listening, you're kind of on a journey, right? You got to kind of keep some chugga chugga.
You know, there's I won't say a spoiler, but the end reflects the beginning. Interesting. Anyways, I'll leave that.
Most of the bros have just gave us a dollar.
Hey!
Most of the bros have. Come on!
$1 closer to our dreams.
That's really great. That's really going to speed up battles. A dollar is... Guys, we need like $10,000.
No, we're $1 closer because of most of the bros.
We need $999.
And, I mean, come on.
And we can split it three ways.
I inspired his favorite D&D character.
You can't
put a
price on that.
Come on,
but he paid
man.
You a dollar for it.
Come
so, I mean,
man.
Technically, it's a transaction.
Alicia is on team a little bit of both. Having that play off the characters and their adversary keeps it fun. I am also writing a Curse of Strahd fan fiction, Alicia says.
Ooh.
Amethyst Cosplay said some of that. Here's a dollar to start your minis. Cha-cha-cha, gentlemen.
Yes.
I am broke as heck. Jam Soda says, no need to hurry through battles. I'd listen to a 2-hour battle as long as there's some plot and character moments within the battle.
Fucking A.
All right. Jam Soda's coming in with a bit of an edge. She's bringing our group he's sort of like balancing things out here.
Yeah, I agree with Jam Soda.
Jam Soda. It's Jam Soda.
Jam Soda.
That's Jam Soda.
It's Jam. That's their pronouns.
Yeah.
Me too, Jam Soda. Dude, I am broke. What do you want from me? Sell Strahd's leg? You've also got the sound effects too. It's true. That helps battles feel fun.
Right. I don't think Critical Role has sound effects.
Not on every hit. Or 90% of hits.
Yeah.
That was also something, on that note, I really liked the challenge of going, ooh, there's so much stuff that we've established in these earlier episodes that have a sound.
That's right.
Wendell's Eldritch Blast, his conjuring stuff. Bourne's Branding Smite, his
Bourne's
thunderous smite,
movement.
His movement. Right.
The Keepers of the Feather.
The Keepers
now
of the Feather.
Now, that's been so fun. Guys, like when we started, we were like wild shooting everything. But now we have like folders of shared sound effects and little motifs that we can just sort of recall. And then it's sort of like, oh, this really feels well lived in now.
Yeah.
Fill me up with the elven cider, please.
One of the funnest sound effects was Rahadin's screams, mind screams.
Yeah.
Oh, those
I
were
remember
good.
Finding that because it was also, to me, I put like a move. Here, let me top that up. I put a move into sort of like 3D space. I put it into reality, right? Like a, something that he would normally use in battle. And Rahadin uses Scream of Echoes or whatever. You use it as a narrative device, as you saying Rahadin rides by you. And while he does, you hear these awful screams of thousands of people.
Right.
So he wasn't actually using it as a weapon. That was his aura. So it was great to find that and really build it as a moment of, oh, Jesus Christ, that's scary. It was cool. So
I really sound like that sound.
Super
really
helped the battles, for sure.
It was like a chorus of like unnerved spirits that were just panging.
Yeah, all the people he's killed or something.
Yeah, yeah, every person he's killed, yeah. The screams of everyone throughout his, like, I think he's like 1,000 years old or close to it.
Yeah.
And he's fought many a battles with a Strahd on his side, so.
Nathan says, what do you guys think of someone writing some spicy fanfic about Wendell and Boren? LOL, asking for a friend. Amethyst cosplay, LMAO. Most of the Brosif says Boren is happily married. Don't you dare. I honestly love the way the characters behave and bark at each other.
I will say we have had some spicy fanfic written about
it. There might be some out there, guys.
I wonder if it's written by Nathan. This is him sort of like
telling us, giving it away. Nathan, are you outing yourself?
Nathan, we love it. We really loved it.
Also, we played Icewind Dale by ourselves a year or so ago. And there were
started Icewind Dale.
Fucking ridiculous scenes that are too hot for podcast, hot for TV. Just
that was a little too hot, you think? Yeah.
Well, probably.
Oh, I don't know.
The fun thing is when the microphone's off, you can explore anything you want. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying we are all very steadfast and true and confident in our sexuality.
We're all
love
very
playing with each other.
Heterosexual, right. But love to joke around and love the world.
Fun. Yeah,
because our characters can be anybody.
Sounds absolutely like you're not heterosexual though when you have to announce
know,
it like
you
that.
Have to really like,
okay,
hit the point home. Jesus Christ. Okay, so here's a question for you then, Jay.
Also, Jay loved the movie director producer look you got going on tonight. Yes.
That's true, the Steven Spielberg.
Yep. I went for a bold move. I got these glasses and just trying it on. I'm playing through Rime of the Frost Maiden with Gevor right now, most of the bros says, okay.
Oh, another bro.
See, it's fun. These guys, I'll just let you guys know, chat, that Tom and Chris can't see the chat because our phones are our cameras right now. So they don't see this, and I'm witnessing you guys just take off on all this sexual talk
that I don't need to repeat.
Let's get it back to Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay, well,
people.
On that note, then, let's go to Jay for a question. Jay, we found out a specific fact about Wendell this episode.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to ask you.
Not exactly a huge segue.
Because you and I were talking about it, too. It's like, when you're at the table and allow yourself to let go of the history that you've written for your character.
That's right.
And build in the moment.
Yeah.
So talk to me about making a character.
Talk to me about, you're doing full journalistic.
Big time, yeah. Big time. Talk to me about, you know, your thoughts on creating a character and when and how you allow yourself to let it grow, take these turns, and find out things about your character that maybe even you didn't know until you said it.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for the question. And I'm really happy to be here. I think by the third season of Curse of Strahd, I had a really good sense of like who Wendell was in his sort of autonomous, just living from moment to moment. Mm. I'd already given up the big backstory that I had written pretty much in one monologue in the Death House.
Right.
From then on, it was sort of like piecing together what chaotic mess I had made with this character. So I threw him into the game, and I put my heart out on my sleeve, and then I was just this broken character. And then you have Boren, so I'm using Boren, I'm using the brilliant DMing, and I'm just sort of playing through it and stumbling for a, like, I mean, that's what we do, right? Like, you have this long runway to develop characters.
Yeah.
Just you stumble through, but then you take wild swings too, because I love that D&D is writing with a pen, not a pencil.
Ooh, I like that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just like real life, just the way I came up with that, right as I was saying it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Great.
Thank you for that question.
Absolutely.
Are you even bros if you don't kiss the homies? Okay, see, I'm just checking in. I'm checking in with the chat.
Yeah, I kiss my homies. Still all not the over. Time.
We've attracted yes to shirts. You always got to kiss homies goodnight, and we love that.
Well, you
got
to make sure they're safe. There's nothing wrong with that.
I do love how you guys play around with the homosexual behavior and lean into it. Okay.
Well, talking about that, that's exactly what we're talking about.
Hey.
I feel it's very natural, though, between Warren and Bourne and Wendell.
Sure. You know what? And all of us. It's not so much that we're leaning into something. We're not trying to lean into it. It's more like, hey, why is that like off limits?
Right. Why ignore an opportunity?
Yeah. And you're playing a character. You're role-playing a character.
Yeah.
Pete, first of all, I'm also role-playing somebody who murders people. Right. That's a little bigger move.
I don't know.
Okay. Will you guys dip your toes in the new Critical Role D20 game coming out? I don't know anything about it, really.
Apparently, it's a horror game. It has a whole new system. It's a whole new world. I am not interested in
that. Oh, talk about what the Meeple Mart guy said to you. When we said, hey, all of us were going to go meet at Meeple Mart, which is like the place where you get minis and terrain. It's a huge nerd D&D place.
Toronto,
Warhammer and warships and everything. It's a big, huge mecca of
TTRPG stuff.
TTRPG stuff.
Yeah.
We go to meet Chris there. Chris comes out and he's like...
I was talking to the guy.
You were talking to the guy.
Yes.
So what happened?
Well, I wanted him to know what he thought about Honor Among Thieves, because I don't know if we shared, but we just thought it was great. We could talk about this forever. It just delivered on so many levels. Long conversation, but I wanted to inquire as to what he thought of the movie. He hadn't seen it yet. And I was like, okay, fair enough. Then I asked him how were sales since the movie? Because I don't know about you guys, but I want D&D Universe. I don't want Marvel Universe. I want this to be the biggest movie ever. I loved it. Did you guys love it? That's a question for you.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
And then he said no. He said sales have been like really, really bad ever since that controversy. He says that people are like switching to Pathfinder and nobody's buying stuff. He's dumping these boxes of minis. He's like, I'll never sell these. That's what he said.
Unbelievable. Wow. And so it really goes to show that whole D&D 1 and the licensing open-ended system, blah, 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 debacle really has a fallout. And it's kind of too bad, because I was hoping the outcome that you were hoping for, I think, was that he would say, the D&D movie was so surprisingly awesome, I agree. My name's Mike. Let's be friends.
Let's talk about all the stuff.
Yes. Hey, you know what? You got a podcast? We have this new system here because the movie was so good and it's put so much into the D&D thing that we're going to actually sponsor your podcast. Mm-hmm. And you're going to make your battles so much more interesting.
And here's some cameras and a whole map system to use.
Here's a team of people that are going to be designing minis and recreations of your battles.
For you. Well, I think, you know, that's that goes to show that there how much individual D&D creation there is out there, too. Like, we're just buds playing a campaign. There are people who are going, I am writing new rules and new magical items and new whole systems based off your rules. And it's a whole other world that we're like, holy moly. And it's amazing to kind of see the effect on, like... I don't want to play it no more. We're just kind of like, when are we going to play D&D?
It goes to show how dedicated the community is. It really does.
Well, and also how different factions the community has. You know, the Harpers and the Zentarian.
I can't help but think that it's a bit sad to think that there are so many people out there that are relying so hard on the, I guess, can I say canon again for like the rule, like the what rules we're all adhering to? Because really, even though we are playing 5e, we learn 5e to a certain point, and then it's pretty much like just little training wheels that you take off and put on depending on what you're doing with the game.
And but you
like,
start to do your own thing.
What do you need the rules for?
Yeah. Like,
in well, fact, what if do you get need new rules?
What do you need new
you have
rules
new
for?
Options because yeah. like why not just homebrew the way you and your party think you are adjudicating a proper
totally
what would you do experiment storytelling game?
Yeah.
Yeah. Quick question for the chat. Do you guys think D&D 1 is a thumb up, thumb down, sideways thumb? I kind of feel like they did pretty great with the rules in 5e ever since following second edition, Advanced D&D.
I'm a big fan of like...
Which was, those rules were bad, like second edition, like
right, yeah.
real tough.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of like, but if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
You thank have, you, Mosif. Yeah, I think Wendell's
something really good going
character
on.
Character too.
So why... I think what it is too, it's...
Simon's component
obviously,
pouch,
when
yep.
things get popular, the people who owns that said IP... start to go, oh, great, we can rake in a lot of cash off this if we start doing things. So let's implement a lot of things.
Yeah. I think they got a new CEO, and they were like, oh, well, why don't we charge people using our stuff that make over yep. X amount of money, and yep. that's way we'll drive profits and have yep. a good quarter.
You know.
And obviously it backfired. Yeah.
It's a similar it's
people
a
people are liking 5e like, on here, too. They're yeah. saying it's a nice balance, and you it's know, Jam deep. Soda says he'll take maybe a couple new things, but stick with 5e overall.
I
that's
agree
an
with
interesting
Jam Soda.
Take.
I'd probably yeah. do the same thing.
For sure.
Just cherry pick. What actually makes a difference?
You know, honestly, as soon as you learn D&D the first time thoroughly, like enough to play a deep game, you kind of are set for life.
Yeah.
You could take what you know now. If you're playing a deep game of D&D, you could take what you know and never learn a new rule.
No.
And you could right. play
and have a great
endless games.
And if you get to a point where you can't decide, you create a new fucking rule.
Yeah.
You go, all right, let's...
What you really ought to be looking at with these new systems is asking yourself, what do I honestly think is a difficult system to implement that I've found difficult to... Like, what are we talking about? Battle. Maybe there's something, and who knows? I don't know what it is, but maybe in one of these new systems, they do something to battle that kind of make it a little more fun.
You like, yeah. what I'm getting from you, Jay, is you want your battles to be fun and fast. You want a fun, fast battle.
Ideally, I'd like a fun, fast battle that still doesn't make it easier. I still think that the grind and stakes need to be good, and you still need to be methodical. So,
in all the games we've played, what has been one of the most memorable battles we've had? This is going to be out of context for listeners, but just as far as taste, what has been the, like... the coup de ramol of battles. First one that comes to your mind.
I would say, but it hasn't happened yet, but people are going to see it in Act 3.
In a week?
Oh, okay.
In a week.
Yes, in a week.
It's yeah, guys, in a week. The next awesome. Episode, we're hyping it up, I guess.
Holy
that has
call.
A... Yeah, it's crazy.
Because there's a lot of new experiences that happen.
That's my favorite one as well.
Damn, okay. Yeah. It's fresh call.
It's coming up
soon. And, you know, you can never really relive your first time, you know?
You like, can't really do no.
There's something so novel about... That's why you can hear it in our voices in this game, you know, when we're playing it through. It's the first time we've done a lot of things.
What about, okay, Tommy, first one that comes to your head, your favorite, because you're more of a technical guy. You like having your cards in front of you, like the numbers.
Right.
You like thinking about strategic ways you can run up a tree and flip and do and cut his balls. And favorite battle that you remember. First one that comes to your mind.
I would actually agree that it is the next episode, but for something else, I would say I just like the kind of military planning of planting the vampire spawn in the festival, the Blazing Sun.
Yes.
I loved having Strahd come up on the scaffolding. I loved that he animated a statue.
Oh, I love that.
I love that you got to see a bit of his tools.
Yeah.
So that was like kind of my favorite thing.
You know what I loved about animating the statue too is that's what Sofina does in the movie. She uses animate object on the dragon. The dragon statue. And I'm like, oh, that's what Strahd did!
Strahd did that!
It's great.
Yeah, that was fun.
What do we got?
these people are discussing a lot here. I love a battle that isn't just a hack and slash, but also introduces narrative elements. Yes, of course.
I think that should be the high-level goal, right? Just make it interesting, or if you're going to pull, like, a move, make it an exciting move. Throw in a little sweep kick with a little flip.
Sometimes you have to grind out a battle, but if you're the DM or the player, think about the contribution you could be adding to your table's experience. If you were in the grind of battle, think for a moment, can I contribute anything to the flavor of this from my character? Or if you're running a game like us, where we also have the liberty to add flavor, like it starts to rain. Some, you know, DM liberties that, like, you know, as long as you're not making any big decisions, it's kind of fun to test your DM to say, like, how much flavor can I add here to just sort of also paint the picture.
Yes, for sure.
Feel free to try to paint the picture. See what that does to your table, I would say.
And use those rolls, not just for, like, that roll isn't just your number. That roll is how you feel. If you roll a two, of course it's going to miss, but that gives you an emotional connection to that miss, you know? So use it. Be like, oh, and, you know, Robot Man stomps off or stomps in place.
Yeah, how badly do you miss? Do you pull a muscle? Do you drop something? Do you,
use those natural ones. Does it confuse you? Use those natural 20s as big moments as well, too. Like, those are really character-defining moments as well. There could be a lot in a game, but use those numbers as, like, a scale rating.
It's just an improv prompt.
Emotionally, I was just going to say, you know, that's something we do in improv. If you don't know what to do, fall back on an emotion. Because an emotion is always something you can play big. It has big stakes.
And to add to that, I remember last session we did with Nick. We were playing this new game right now. And you guys might hear it sometime.
It's big news.
But I was doing this thing where something happened in the game, and I wasn't sure how to feel about it as my character.
Okay.
So I rolled the D20 just to myself. I didn't announce it.
Amazing.
I didn't tell the DM I was doing it. I just needed a little bit of a... Because, you know, who cares? Make a meal out of whether you go one way or the other. That's what's so fun about the game.
It defines a character,
too. Just throw everything you got at it. So I just was like, oh, I'm not sure how I feel about that. So I'm going to roll the dice to see if...
That's great.
And then, you know what? It ended up being a neutral roll. Like, I rolled like a 10. But then I was just like, okay, you know what? I'm glad it just validated my anxiety out.
Sure.
And I'm just going to play it neutral. And
amazing.
And I'll play it like that.
Amazing.
But I think it's kind of fun to give yourself the opportunity to sort of make bold choices.
Make big, bold choices. Absolutely.
What is this new game from Misk Disc? Yeah, oh, and also Dilm, new game. Oh, we got a couple of new game. Yeah, we do have a new game. Guys, we've actually been recording a few new games. But
just one.
This is huge news.
You know, we're not really saying much, but...
No
timeline on this. When Curse of Strahd ends... that's not the end.
That's not the end.
It's not the end of Dwarven Moss, guys.
It's not the end.
It's not the end of Dwarven Moss. For Curse of Strahd, the campaign of Curse of Strahd.
Yes,
the official Curse of Strahd.
We do finish the official campaign.
We will we'll close the book, and how that story ends, you don't know, but that book is closed.
But the world of Dwarven Moss will keep spinning, and the tales that we have to tell are plentiful. And
in fact, I think there's quite a lot going on in Faerun right now.
We're not going to retire after this, guys. Don't worry. But
no, we do have a...
You are going to dig.
Idea.
New act.
That's been being archived.
And with that, we'd like to say... This is the beginning of the end.
The end.
This is the beginning of the end. The talking moss... is ending, so talk your little mouths off.
And listen to the moon. Good night.
Goodbye, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Woo! We'll see you soon. Catch you next week. Thank you so much. That was really fun.